Let's all stand out of respect for the Word of God. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, verse 24, because this is quite a bit. We're going to go at a slower pace. And as we are beginning a new section in the same series, or the same mini-series. And so, turn your Bibles right now to Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Jesus and the purpose of the parables, part 10, Jesus and the purpose of the parables, part 10, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day number 1703, according to both of my sons, Daniel White the Fourth and Daniel Ezekiel White. I do not know the count myself. I did not keep up with it. Since January the 20th, 2017. Day 2088, since January the 1st, 2016. Another parable put he forth unto them. These are the parables of Jesus Christ, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. Remember that now. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. In this world, my friends, you will, if you are a child of God, you will have enemies, just like God has an enemy. Just like Jesus had many enemies and still does to this day, sad to say. And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. If you know anything about farming, you know that can easily happen. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And so I can title this passage, using a word that I have used for many years. I've called the terrors in the church the terrorists. The terrorist. The terrorist among us. And then if you would, allow me to read in your hearing Matthew chapter 13, verses 36 through 43. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. And I want you to notice, God is very merciful. We just got through hearing a song and singing a song about how Jesus is merciful, and he is. God is very merciful. And I want you to get this. I want you to understand this. God is very loving. God is very merciful. God is very gracious. But once the decisions are made, it's a done deal. It's a cut and dry situation. It's a straightforward situation. A judge may have some sympathy for the person that he's getting ready to sentence, but the deal is done. And you can say, well, maybe let me just live my life like I want to, and maybe in the end I can just I can negotiate with God and negotiate with Jesus. And I'm telling you, that is not going to be the case. May I say that God and Jesus, they have a makeup, if you will, that they love you. They're not willing that any should perish. They've done everything they could to save you. God has waited on you. But once you cross that line and you reject Jesus Christ, they have a side of them that says, okay, you made your choice. And I say to all people who are in authority, husbands, judges, you got to follow God, and you've got to follow Jesus. And have that kind of thing, and it's in you. I have children I've had to make some decisions on and deal with them about, and I did it. Didn't want to do it. I've never wanted to chastise my children, give them a whipping, or punish them. I would rather for them to do the right thing. But once they make their decision to be proud and stubborn and rebellious and disobedient and act foolishly, then I have to do what God has called me to do and has delegated to me to do. Same thing goes for my wife. You would rather for people to act right. God would rather for all of us to act right, so that he would not have to chastise us and to rebuke us and ultimately punish us. I'm here to tell you that you will go to hell, my dear friend, if you reject Jesus Christ and reject the love of God for your soul. And you will spend eternity there. See? Love is a many splendid thing, but God is a many splendid being. There's the multifaceted sides of him that you evidently don't know much about by the way you're carrying yourself and acting. But it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, dear friend. He's very loving, very gracious, very merciful. He wants the best for you. Yes, that's right. But he will lay the boom down on you if you reject his love and reject his son and disobey his word and his commandments. All of them. Old Testament and New Testament. And you see here a very straightforward situation. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. When it talks about wailing and gnashing of teeth, he's not talking about tares and wheat right now. He's talking about human souls burning and being tormented in hell. And I'm looking at people right now, if you don't repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm talking to people right now, if you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and repent, this is you. This is where you're going. You can believe the modernist preachers, the ear-tickling preachers all you want to. I'm here to tell you today, God does not play. God is very long-suffering, very patient, very loving, and he will allow you to think that you're getting away. But nobody gets away with sin in God's world. Nobody. You will be dealt with in this life or the life to come or both. And do you see my face? I am not playing with you. You can think God is the big old granddaddy in heaven who loves everybody and wants to sit you in his lap and all of that and all you want. But God is a consuming fire. And he will not let you mess with him long. At some point, he will lay the boom down on you if you don't get the message. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Shall we pray? Holy Father God in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord God in heaven, I praise you and I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And for all of the millions and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And Holy Father God, I lead these people in prayer, and I can pray for them, but I cannot pray what they ought to pray. And so I pray that they would open their mouths unto you and confess their own sins and repent and get their wicked, evil, and ungodly hearts and minds and spirits and attitudes and right with you. Lord, for those who are saved and for those who are lost, save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, help them to do business with you, to humble themselves down, to pray and to seek your face, to repent of their wicked sins in their hearts, which can be done without words, and get back to you, their first love. Now, Lord, you know how people will respond. and way better than we do. So, Lord, have mercy and grace upon us. For those of us who are saved, please forgive us of our sins, our faults, and our failures. Help us to stop worrying about what other people think of us. That's just another sign of pride. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins, our faults, and our failures. Wash and cleanse our souls, our hearts and minds, consciences in the precious blood of Christ, and make us, Lord, to be whiter than snow on the inside. Crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us. And fill us all afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. For without your Holy Ghost, without your might, without your power, Lord, nothing productive will be done here today. Nothing everlasting will be done here today. And so, Holy Father God, demonstrate and move by the power of your Holy Ghost upon the wicked people here and the wicked people out there, red, yellow, black, and white. For we're all precious in your sight. Truly born again Christian people, they love to hear your word. None of us can explain it. Those who are lost and on their way to hell, they endure your word until they become saved. And so, Holy Father God, we pray this morning that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias, and all of the demonic sins that these spirits produce. Pride, stubbornness, rebelliousness, hatred, bitterness, bad attitudes, disrespect, hindrance and distraction, betrayal and sabotage of trying and treachery, trying to hinder your gospel from going out to the people who need it. It is a demonic thing. It is a devilish thing. And Lord, I know that we're doing something great because the devil has pulled out all of the stops this week since we started this campaign 5 days ago, I believe it was, on Wednesday, on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And it just so happened to be my birthday and my son's birthday and my daughter's birthday. It was what a week. The devil is mad about Yom Kippur and what it stands for. The devil is mad about this campaign. The devil is mad that we are still here and still alive and on fire for you in preaching the gospel, your gospel, to a dying and lost world, telling the world about you, using your words to introduce you to them so that they can believe on you and be saved from hell, be they in a hospital, a hospice, a home, wherever they may be around the world. And we thank you for the privilege, the blessing, and the joy. And I pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would bind up Satan, cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias. Cast out the demonic sins they produce out of the hearts and minds and lives of the people here who have that problem, and the people out there who have that problem. And Lord, those who refuse to get saved, who refuse in their pride to believe in you, these humanistic people who are religious but humanistic, they really don't have faith in you. As you pointed out through Paul in Thessalonians, some men don't have faith, some women don't have faith, and they become enemies of the gospel. They can't stand the glorification of the gospel. the preaching of the gospel. And so they hate the preachers of the gospel and will try to do everything they can to try to hinder them. And so, Holy Father God, I am so blessed today by you to be able to have that knowledge and to not be ignorant of the devil and to pray against him. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please rebuke and bind the devil and his demons and his hosts from this service and from this time as you have done for the past 4 days. Grant me complete freedom and liberty of your Holy Ghost to preach your holy gospel and to preach your holy word, the things that accompany salvation, the whole counsel of God. For you want me to preach to saints and sinners. And I thank you for that. I know there are people in this world and even in the church, they want me to just preach to the sinners. But the saints are sinning. And they don't want anybody to bother them. Because they think they're privileged and they are not. And I believe, Lord, you may have a controversy more with them than with the sinners. I know you love the sinners and you're patiently waiting on them. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you're giving them grace and time to do so. But you are rebuking and chastising your people who are already saved right now under this coronavirus plague pandemic. And you've done it for almost 2 years now. People have predicted it was going to be over 10,000 times, and is steadily getting worse because we're not repenting. The people in your church are not repenting. You know that they're biding time so that they can get back to their sinning. And so, Holy Father God, I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. Heal those who are sick. Comfort those who are grieving. And we pray this, Lord, for people all around the world, in our country, in our community, in our families, in our individual lives, and in our churches. And Lord, I pray that lost souls would be saved and Christians would be revived. Your holy name glorified and Jesus Christ exalted. Lord, I'm excited about this as I was for the previous sermon and message series. I'm excited about this. It's a continuation, but this new series within a series. And I'm excited because of your holy word. It's amazing how your holy word makes your children get excited. Just the simple reading, teaching, and preaching of your holy word is no better form of communication in the world. And I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. Thank you for the privilege of using me in your work in a small way. And I pray that much fruit would come from it, live and on demand. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as always, as we approach a new passage, because I'm not in a hurry, I take my time to walk you through it, because when you leave here, I want you to understand what God is saying. I'm not interested in you getting all excited about the way I say it, or my sing-song preaching style, or what kind of suit he had on. I'm not interested in you getting excited about somebody running around the church or shouting. I want you to get what God has to say, because when you do that, then you will be stable and stabilized. And so when you leave here, you will not go to your apartment or to your house and curl up in a fetal position because you're depressed again, just from the short ride from the church to the house, so to speak. You're still angry. You're still bitter. You're still mad, talking about why me. And I want to say to all of you people who are saying why, questioning God, why me? Seem like other people are getting on with their lives, and I try hard and I work hard and everything, and seem like nobody likes me. I don't get any credit for what I do. And you do get credit for it. But you got some other issues in your heart, mind, and life, including a bad attitude that people are not going to tolerate. And that's why they don't like to be around you. And you need to let the Word of God sink in and help you to understand that you may be a terrorist. You're religious. You hang around religious people, but you're always mad as the devil, and angry as the devil, and bitter like the devil, and hateful like the devil. Oh, you might be a hard worker. That's good, but that's not going to get it. That's not all of it. You are to do that and be that, as Jesus said. You are to do that and do the other also. You need to stop going around pointing the finger and blaming everybody else and boo-hooing and crying and depressed and defeated. Just came out of church. You shouted. You felt good. And you kind of felt the warm glow and heat and so forth. And you had a good little feeling. And then you leave church and leave from the church house or leave from the preaching. And you're right back to where you were before. You may be a terrorist. You may be a tare. Have you ever thought about that? You're not a wheat. Because, see, the wheat, they're going to stay healthy. And they're going to be stable. And they're going to be about the same every day. Because it's not about them holding them up. They don't depend upon themselves. See, and this is where you have a problem. Because you're proud as the devil. You depend upon yourself. You want to be Mr. It or Miss It. And you want to take all the credit, not realizing that you were created, and so therefore you are a dependent being. You're not an independent being. Do you hear me? You need to understand that. You are a dependent being. You're not an independent being with your bad self. And the reason why people don't just come running trying to appease you and help you, because they know you're proud as the devil. And they're going to let you go here right ahead with your bad self and be Miss Independent or Mr. Independent. Until you fall or until you change your ways, or until you get saved and stop being a terrorist in the church. That's real talk. That's why we got half the church depressed, defeated, need counseling all the time. Thank God people are realizing all across this country, that, for example, marriage counseling does not work for most people. Why? Because normally you have somebody in the marriage who is depressed and defeated, and the devil's got them down in the dumps and defeated and everything else, and they're not saved, and so you got a tear in the marriage and a wheat. But the tear is claiming to be saved and to be a Christian, yet mad as the devil, mean as the devil, hateful as the devil. A liar. Feet ain't made, heart pumps peanut butter. You know why you have a whole bunch of confusion in your marriage and in your family? Because somebody's not saved, people. Saved people, watch this, they may not like some things, but saved people know how to control themselves because they have the Holy Spirit of God in their lives, and they know how to say what they mean and mean what they say and go right on ahead and work things out. And they also are humble enough to just suffer the wrong and don't say anything. And Dr. Matthew Henry said, God has so ordered it that good and bad should be mixed together in this world, that the good may be exercised, glory be to God, the bad left inexcusable, and a difference made between earth and heaven. Go ahead, Dr. Henry. In our last few messages in this series, The Purpose of the Parables, we have dealt with the parable of the sower. Now we are going to move on to the next parable that Jesus shares in Matthew chapter 13, and everything that Jesus said, every word is important. And don't you ever forget that. I don't care if you feel bored or not. Every word is important. And if it's not important to you, maybe you are a tear, or maybe you are immature, or maybe you just have a wicked, evil heart. Matthew 13, which is the parable of the wheat and the tares? To help with giving you some background knowledge and some information to help you to understand where Jesus Christ is coming from. To help you to understand the passage. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says about this passage, in the second parable, Jesus again used the figure of the sower, but with a different twist, if you will. After a farmer sowed his wheat seed, an enemy came at night and sowed some weeds, some tares, on the same soil. As I said before, I want you to remember that word enemy. Some of you try your best to win friends and influence people. And you do not want to accept the fact that you have an enemy. Everybody has an enemy. If God has an enemy, you have an enemy. Yes, there are beings and people who are filled with the demonic spirits who hate you. Now, all you did was just sow wheat. That's just a normal, basic thing to do to feed your family and to feed some other people as well. That's all you did. All you did was trust Christ as Savior. That's a good thing to do. But because you did that, I mean, they don't even know why they went by and just messed up your field by sowing a bunch of weeds. Jesus doesn't even deal with that. But you have enemies who will try to mess up your life, and they don't even know you. They don't even know why they're doing it, but there's a devil who's behind it. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but I do want you to understand, my beloved, you have some enemies in this life. And you might as well stop lying and stop trying to win friends and influence people and understand you're going to have some enemies, particularly if you're going to stand for Jesus Christ. You need to go ahead on and make up your mind that you're going to have enemies. You're not even trying to have enemies. But have you noticed all people have enemies? You have enemies in your family. You have enemies on your job. You have enemies in your church. Have you ever seen somebody? Let's be honest now and tell the truth and shame the devil. Let's tell the truth. Have you ever seen somebody? Other people may like them, but you don't like them. Something about them. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Don't act like, oh, I like everybody. You're a liar. Have you ever experienced that? Yes, you have. And guess what? People see you and they don't like you. They can't put their finger on just something about them. Something about her. And you need to come to grips with that. Stop trying to be liked by everybody. You're going to have some enemies to do evil things to you, like put weeds in your garden. They can't stand you out there enjoying yourself in the sun with your little garden. So at night, when you're asleep, they're going to go to your garden and dig it up and have their dog run through it. But people who do, I mean, people are wicked. People are evil, and they'll do some of anything to hurt you and get back at you. In some cases, for no reason. There's an increase in the world of people just walking up to people and just knocking them out. Enemies. As a result, the wheat and the weeds grew together and would continue to do so till the time of harvest. For removing the weeds early would result in destroying the wheat, or some of the wheat as well. Therefore, they must grow together until the harvest, when the weeds would first be gathered out and destroyed. Then the wheat would be gathered into the barn. As Jesus and his disciples came into a house away from the crowd, they asked for an explanation of this wheat and weeds parable. First, he said, the sower of the good seed is the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the sower of the good seed. The Lord is using me and thousands of others to sow the seed in the world today as we represent him. But it's the Lord doing it, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The greatest soul winner in the world is God and his Son, Jesus Christ. This fact is an important starting point for understanding parables. The parables cover the time beginning with the Lord himself on earth, ministering and proclaiming the good news, the gospel. Second, the field is the world into which the good news is spread. Third, the good seed represents the sons of the kingdom. The good seed in this parable corresponds to the seed in the first parable that produced a fruitful crop. The weeds, the tares, the tares, if you will, are the sons of the evil one. The sons and daughters of Belial, the sons and daughters of Beelzebub, the sons and daughters of the devil, Satan, that have been sown among the wheat by the enemy, the devil. So the devil, as the Lord sows the good seed, the devil comes behind him and sows the bad seed with the good seed to cause satanic confusion. And that's what you're dealing with. Some pastors have gone to an early grave because they're dealing with that right there. They got saints and sinners in the church. And that's something to deal with. And this condition of the kingdom was never revealed in the Old Testament, which spoke of a kingdom of righteousness in which evil would be overcome. Fourth, the harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. This fact gives the ending of the time period suggested by these parables. This is a massive vision, what we're dealing with here. The end of the age represents the conclusion, I said, the conclusion. King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, believed in conclusions as well. He said, the conclusion of the matter. See. One day, friends, there will be a conclusion of the present age before Christ establishes the messianic kingdom. I want you to meet Christ. I'm trying to introduce you to Christ, how he really is in his own words. Thus the parables in Matthew 13 cover the period of time from Christ's work on earth to the time of the judgment at his return. Yes, after the conclusion of the whole matter, there will be a judgment at his return. At his second coming, the angels will gather the wicked and throw them into judgment, to punishment, into hell fire. At that time, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew frequently mentioned this reaction to judgment, and Luke mentioned it once. Each time it is used, it refers to judgment on sinners before the millennium is established. Weeping suggests sorrow and grief, emotional agony of the lost in hell, and grinding of one's teeth speaks of pain, physical agony in hell. These are some of the many references in Matthew to judgment. Then the righteous will shine like the sun, as it was said also in Daniel, in the kingdom of their Father. In this period between Jesus' rejection and his future return, he, the king, is absent, but his kingdom continues. Jesus Christ, by the way, is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and it would be wise for you to start seeing him that way. Though in a newly revealed form. This age is broader than, but includes the church age. The church did not begin until the day of Pentecost, and there are scholars who debate that. There are some scholars who say it began with John the Baptist. It began when Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. Whatever the case, it had a beginning point. And it has an ending point, and it will conclude at the rapture of the church. And by the way, that is what they call imminent. It can happen at any moment. Don't you love our English language? Wonderful. Imminent. And by the way, your death is imminent too. Words are very powerful. Imminent means it can happen at any time, and you don't know when. You understand? People, some of you proud people, stubborn, rebellious, mean, hateful people think you got all a whole long time to go. You don't have, tomorrow is not promised you. Your next 5 minutes, you may be dead within the next 10 minutes. You say, well, preacher, why do you have to preach on things like that? Because most preachers don't preach on that. You got to know this. You better know this. You need to understand this. Today is the day of salvation. Some of you folks are debating the vaccine. I don't know if I'm going to get it or not. You know, I heard this and I heard that. And so many people have died doing that and dilly-dallying with the issue. But see, now this is a whole nother ball game. You die unsaved today, in other words, not being vaccinated with the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to hell and you're going to be there forever. The rapture comes today and you're not saved, you're going to be left behind. That's a fact, see. And see, my job, one of the biggest jobs that God has given, to help you to believe and to understand that his word is true. These things are going to happen. That's why I preach, to help you understand, just like you believe in the Dallas Cowboys that you want to get out of here and go see today, and you know they're there, and you love them, and they're real to you. This is real. You need to get your mind over that. Get your mind off of losing, get your mind on winning by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the most important, if you will allow me, game of the day. The Holy Word of God is true. And what it says will happen, will happen. Here's a prophecy for you. The Bible says you're going to die. It's appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. Now, if you know you're going, if the Bible is right on your dying, and you know the Bible is right on your dying, you're hearing about and seeing people die every day. Well, the judgment is true too. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. That's what God is trying to get across to you through me. All of this stuff is going to happen. And thousands of people die and go to hell, and then when judgment comes, they are like they never heard it, or all of a sudden they remembered it. It's too late. This mystery period is characterized by profession of faith, but also by a counter-profession that cannot be separated until the final judgment. This mystery period does not involve a universal triumph of the gospel, as postmillennialists say and affirm, nor does it include Christ's earthly reign. It simply is the time between his two advents before he returns to institute the kingdom promised to David through his greater son, Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. The question today for you, dear friend, is, do you know him? In this Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying campaign, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? Have you been vaccinated? And therefore saved from the power of sin and the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell. Now, dear friend, if you are with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I am not here for my health. I'm an old man now. When I get through preaching to you, I was sitting down before I got in the pulpit. When I get through preaching to you, I'm going to lay down. You say, well, why, preacher? Because I have to. And only true God-called preachers know what I'm talking about. You got to go lay down, relax. I may get a bite to eat, but I'm heading to recline. You know why? Because I'm not doing this for my health. Some believe I should be reclining right now after preaching over 500 days straight already. That I shouldn't even be doing this another 100 days. But Fanny Crosby told me that the Lord will provide you the strength. And that's what he's doing 5 days in. And in my spirit and in my soul, oh, I'm no ways tired. I'm excited, fired up, and ready to go. My wife is not. I have some other family members who are not. But that does not hinder me. That does not bother me. As the old black saints used to sing, I will not let them hinder me. But deep down in my heart, my soul, and my spirit, that does not get tired. I'm fired up and ready to go. The body is another thing. So I'm not here for my health. I'm here to plead with you. And I use that word advisedly. I'm here to plead with you, to strongly urge you, to persuade you, to love on you, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the King of kings, and Lord of lords. This is your vaccination from the power of sin and the punishment of sin in hell. I'm here to help you to understand that this is very serious, and you're in very serious trouble if you don't take advantage of the good news that I am telling you, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all I'm here for. I'm not going to get a dime from you. I don't want you to send me a dime. I am not here to make any money off you or to sell books. I want, whether we meet or not on this earth, we'll meet in heaven if you get saved. I want to see you get saved like I got saved 41 years ago plus. So, dear friend, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in me, not in the Pope, for there's no hope in the Pope. I'm preaching to a whole bunch of Catholics as well, as many other people of all faiths and religions. There's no hope in the Pope, and there's no peace in the priests. I'm not trying to get you to follow a man, but to follow Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God. First, you need to understand, dear friend, that you need to accept the fact that you are a wretched, no good, ungodly, wicked sinner. You say, who, me? Yes, you. You say, I'm a businessman. And you know, many business people are more moral than people in the church. I know. I agree with you. But you're still a sinner. Have you ever defrauded a customer? Have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever lied? Have you ever been involved with a woman that's not your wife? Have you ever been involved with a man that's not your husband? You committed adultery, fornication. Have you ever lusted after a woman or a man? Coveted after what other people have? Was envious of them and you wanted what they had? Have you ever dishonored or disrespected your parents or disobeyed your parents? And right now, to this day, you hate your parents or you hate a parent. You hate the other parent too, but you just want to use them to have your way and do what you want to do. You want to get them to validate your evil. Have you ever dishonored God by taking his holy name in vain? That's just 5 of the 10 or 6 of the 10 commandments. And I believe, without even knowing you broke all of them already if you are of a certain age, or most of them. And the Bible says that if you commit one sin, if you break one of the commandments, you break all of the commandments. This makes you a sinner, Mr. Businessman. Just like the Pope is a sinner, the Dalai Lama is a sinner, Dalai Lama is a sinner. Joel Osteen, the pastor of the largest church in America, he's a sinner too, and his wife, and all their children. And he would admit it. And he would do it very gladly, with a big old smile. And I'm a sinner. You're a sinner and I'm a sinner. And no, we're not okay. You're not okay and I'm not okay. I forget the doctor who wrote that book. No, we're not okay. You're not okay. I'm not okay. We're not okay. We are wicked, evil, wretched, no good, ungodly sinners. And we need to humble ourselves and confess our sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's okay. He's more than okay. He never sinned. He died for our sins. He is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. Do you know him in a real sense? Don't stand there and say you do and you know that you're a tear. That you don't love the things of God. You're just in the church to see who you can get and what you can get. You're a low-down snake in the grass. You're a terrorist. Don't lie. If you want to cease being a terrorist, just a religious person who looks like they're saved, but you're not. I was like that for 19 years. I didn't know I was not trying to be that way, but I was. Lost and on my way to hell, but in church every Sunday with my family. Everybody in the church thought I was saved and a good boy and a good young man, and now I was not. I was the personification of what I'm talking about today, a terrorist. A terrorist, a terror. I was in the church with an evil heart, and my mind was not on Jesus. My mind was on Jennifer and Janice up in that choir box with their fine selves. I was in church. I got my best sleep while the preacher, the bishop, Bishop Grant, Pastor Grant was preaching. I got my best sleep. Some of the best sleep is devil sleep. When the devil puts you to sleep in the church house, you don't hear the gospel. You don't hear the seed being sowed. So you don't hear the word. Listen to me, I got my best sleep in church. And my mind was not on Jesus. I woke up when that choir box rose. My mind was on Jennifer, number one, and Janice, number two. I wanted those girls, those young ladies, for myself. They were so beautiful, so fine. See? And that's how some of you are. You're in church for all the wrong reasons. Is that you? Are you just trying to get a husband or keep a husband? Trying to get a wife or keep a wife? Trying to get a business deal? You terrorist. You terrorist. You terrorist. Huh? Are you there for Jesus? Or are you there for Jennifer like me? Like I was. Uh-huh. And was determined like a drunk yard dog to get it. Huh? Like a pit bull. Dogs in the church. Oh, yes, I was, and until I heard the seed sown. I heard the gospel. December the 19th, 1979. Like you're hearing the gospel today, and I got saved. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I got saved in spite of the church. I got saved in spite of my dad being a preacher and my mother being a preacher and having us in church all of our life. In fact, I'm more of an enemy of the Pharisaical and Sadduceical self-righteous church folk. I'm not a terrorist anymore. I'm against the terrorists in the church. Religious, but lost. saying that they are saved and all that, but they're full of hell and the devil and dead men's bones. I'm on the side of the sinner who truly needs to be saved without all of the religion and the fake and the foolishness and the hypocrisy. And so, dear friend, we're all sinners, aren't we? The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." One day you're going to be lying down in a thing called a coffin. Right now you can go lie down in your bed. Get up at will. But once you lie down in that coffin, you will not be able to get up. You're going to be dead. You know why you're going to die? You're going to die because of your sinful nature. You're going to die because of the sins that you've chosen to commit. You are a sinner by nature and by choice. Make no mistake about it. And your body will go to a grave. However, your soul, the real you, see, you can see my body, you can't see my soul. The only portion of my soul that you can see, in my spirit you can see, which is, you can't see it, but you hear it. That's the real me. My voice. And do you know your voice is so distinctive and so powerful because it comes from your soul and your spirit is an invisible part of you? That you can call somebody you haven't talked to in 10 years and they'll recognize your voice. They can be half asleep and still know it's you. Your body will go to a grave because of sin. Your soul will go to hell because of sin. In fact, thirdly, dear friend, you need to accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire." This is an urgent matter. This is more urgent than COVID-19 or the coronavirus plague. More urgent, way more urgent. You need to get your soul saved. I'm praying for somebody right now. They're more concerned about their body and getting that fixed than they are their soul. You know why? Because they have every intention to keep on doing their evil and their sin in their new body if they got it fixed. And they're not concerned about their soul at all. They're not concerned about getting saved. This person is one of the terrorists in the church today. This is a very urgent matter. You need to take care of this first. And then take care of your decaying body. Hell is a very real place. Jesus Christ, who never lied and cannot lie, preached more on hell than any prophet, any apostle, or any writer in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because hell is a real place. Again, that's why I'm here, to help you to understand that these things that you think are dreams or nightmares or fables or myths are actually true. One day you're going to die. And if you never truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to die and go straight to hell. You say, man, I never heard anybody tell me that. I know most preachers don't preach on hell. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any preacher in the Bible. And sad to say, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than most preachers living today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved from that awful place called hell. Hell is a bad place. Hell is a sad place. And hell is bad news, my dear friend, forever and ever. However, I have some good news for you. I hope that you will take it. You know why God is waiting so patiently for you? Because there's a strange thing about people who have a sinful nature, and we all do. We love bad news, and we just run out the bad news. But there's something wicked and evil and strange about us and our sinful nature, that we reject that which is good. We reject good news. We don't want to hear the good news. And we don't want to take the medicine, the good medicine that is good for us. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, here's the good news. Jesus Christ preached the gospel first and best when he said the most wonderful, most loving, and most important words in the history of the world. He said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. That he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins. He paid your sin debt. He went through your hell. He is your substitute. He went through all of that for you and for me. He paid our sin debt. He is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. And I am so happy today that that was taken care of. He is the sacrificial Passover Lamb of God who came and took care of business. Because God the Father so loved the world that he gave up his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell. We all deserve to perish in hell, but have everlasting life. We don't deserve to have everlasting life. Now, you talk about love for you. Now, you can fool around and reject this good news. You can fool around and reject this love. You can fool around and reject Jesus Christ if you want to. You will miss out on the greatest blessing in the universe and throughout eternity. So just believe in your heart, dear friend, right now, if you want to be saved. Be you red, yellow, black, or white? Many have come this way. I came this way. And by God's grace, I've led many others to go this way, and I can lead you. And I've never met a truly born-again Christian who regretted being saved. Not one. Not one. I never heard that in my life. I've never heard that in over 41 years that I got saved, but I regretted it and I wanted my money back or whatever. No, I've never heard that. I want a return. No. I've never heard that. I've never heard that in my life. I've never met anybody. And I've met many Christians. White, black, really. I've never seen anybody fix their mouths to say that. So, dear friend, pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul. And he will do so. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou, you, shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the punishment of your sins in hell that you deserve. And saved to what? Saved to heaven. I have to emphasize this because I heard the word being saved for years. But nobody told me what I was being saved from. So I never got saved. If they had told me I was getting saved from hell and burning in hell forever, I would have got saved, I do believe. As a young person, believe me. Nobody ever told me I was going to hell. I've had people to say, go to hell. You go to hell. I heard that. But nobody told me how to get saved from hell. And that hell was real, like I'm telling you today. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the punishment of your sins in hell forever. The torments of darkness, the torments of flames, the torments of an agonizing memory. Remember, Mr. Rich Man. Do you remember? Gnashing of teeth. And on. That's what you're getting saved from. And you're getting saved to go to heaven. Saved to heaven. Don't miss out on this, my dear friend. I don't care what your mama said, your daddy said, your sister, your brother, your friend, your boyfriend, girlfriend. You better believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him. And I mean that with every fiber of my being. However, God will not make you get saved. God will not make you, and I can't make you. But I can tell you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shall be saved. And so, dear friend, if you're willing to do that today, I'm willing to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shall be saved, the Bible says. It's very simple. Notice that Jesus didn't say you needed to get baptized. Jesus Christ did not say you needed to join a church. Jesus Christ did not say that you need to be sitting in a beautiful, ornate church. Jesus Christ did not say you needed to speak in some unknown tongue to be saved. Notice that Jesus Christ did not say you had to give some money and to the church to get saved. You can give $1 million and still die and go to hell. You can get baptized and still die and go to hell. You can jump and shout and run around the church and have perfect attendance in church and die and bust hell wide open. Only by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ can you be saved. Calling on his name, praying and asking him to save your soul. And he will save you. That's how I got saved, December the 19th, 1979. And my life has never been the same, and I've never looked back, not one time. And he'll save your soul today, too. Please believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ and get your soul saved from eternal damnation. Follow me in prayer as we pray the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. Lord, your word is right. I have sinned against you. I've broken your Ten Commandments. I understand that I deserve to go to hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. My failures and my faults, as I believe with all of my heart, in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, I do believe in you, as you have told me to do. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul from hell today. Apply your precious blood to my soul and to my spirit so that your wrath would not come upon me, even though I deserve it. Fill me with your, Lord, please save my soul today and fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me to truly repent of all of my sins. And by your grace and with your help, change my evil ways. And to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or some other email that's on your site where you are. We have over 1,000 sites in every country of the world and in major cities around the world. And so you can send it in to that email. If not, send it in to dw3@gospellightsociety.com. And let us know so that we can pray for you and rejoice with you in your newfound faith in Christ. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good is my prayer. Let's all stand for our closing prayer. Holy Father God in heaven, your holy word is amazing, extraordinarily powerful, out of this world powerful. And Lord, I pray that your holy word that has been preached today will stick to people and not give them rest until they come to know you as Savior from the pits and get saved from the pits of hell to the glories of heaven by believing in you, Lord Jesus. And we pray this in your holy name. Amen. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.